The treasurer is Ben Wyatt. Ben, good morning.
Good morning, Gareth.
You went, didn't you?
I did. I thought it was an inspired decision to have it at Frio, Gareth. And I think having those sort of suburban grounds full of people does look great on TV. And I think it was, the weather was perfect and the game was spectacular. So it all came together as opposed to, as you point out, the game last year that was one-sided, to say the least.
All right. We will no doubt have a difference of opinions expressed about it. This $600 payment on electricity bills, is this just an election bribe?
No, Gareth, it's actually something that I think the timing has worked out really well. Obviously, with the settlement of the Bell litigation and the payment of those monies to the state has enabled us to effectively rebate that to Western Australians through their electricity accounts. And it actually flows nicely in with the timing of the reductions of JobSeeker and JobKeeper. So they've come down now from $1,500 to $1,200. So that's the inevitable withdrawing of support from the WA economy from the Commonwealth, and this is an opportunity to do this. And it's rare, Gareth. I mean, the Governor of the Reserve Bank and the Treasury's governments to do a couple of things, one being infrastructure spend and the other being household support. States don't have a lot of levers for direct household support, but we can certainly do that through our synergy accounts, and that's what we're doing. So I think the timing is right, and particularly with now going into that summer period, I think having this credit apply to all accounts, both Synergy and Horizon Power, is a good opportunity to provide that bit of support.
Do you think that households will spend the money, or might they just say, well, thanks, that's my power bill I don't have to worry about for the next month or two or three or four?
Good question. We're expecting about 70% effectively to be spent and around about 30% to be saved. If you can, it's hard to calculate, of course, because it's a credit on an account, but that's how we're expecting that to flow through to broader spend. So for household budgets, it's of course a huge benefit, but a lot of people will then take that opportunity to spend alternate amounts elsewhere, and that's what we're hoping to see, particularly where, you know, you've got a period over the summer where people are on holidays and usually having an increase in spend, or Christmas period, etc. So I think it's just a good timing, both in terms of the revenue coming in and being able to do this now.
Opposition say that you've jacked up power prices since you came to power, and this simply is a sort of a short-term mitigation of that. How do you respond?
Well, over the last 10 years, there's no doubt power bills have increased. They've increased very strongly after the long freeze under the former Labor government. So since 2008, they've gone up. They're pretty close to cost reflective now. But what this has enabled us to do is, one, obviously we've frozen the whole basket of fees and charges for the financial year, but this has allowed us to give a very large injection back through the electricity account. So I think it's something that all reasonable Western Australians, I suspect, will quite enjoy it.
Okay. 922 11882. I'd like to ask you how you will spend the money, or will you save the money, the $600 credits to your power bill? The history of this is obviously quite interesting, in that the Bell Group litigation has been going on for the best part of 30 years. Was there any thought to doing something more substantive and long-term with the proceeds of a 30-year legal process rather than a one-off cash splash?
Yeah, there was a lot of conversation around how to treat this, Gareth. A $650 million, I mean, it's as close as you get to a windfall. It's something that I didn't budget for. But we managed to settle this long ongoing litigation. And for those, I suspect many Western Australians have forgotten, but whilst the litigation itself wasn't specifically funded through that car registration levy back in the late 1990s, that was to fill a hole in the then SGIC, now the Insurance Commission. That's why we ended up landing at, well, let's return this to Western Australians, and the best way to do that is really through their power accounts.
Right, because that's what Richard Court called the WA Inc. levy. Is this a WA Inc. dividend?
Well, I'm sure some may say that, Gareth, but you're quite correct. The history of this is often lost in time, but this is one that has been going. I mean, I remember coming out of law school, and as a young lawyer, some of my friends have been working on this for their entire legal career, Gareth, and there's a couple of benefits. One, we actually stop the ongoing multi-million dollar annual spend on litigation and legal fees, but with the payment. It's effectively a return to Western Australians, and the timing could not be better.
Okay, 9221882. I have some specific questions from a couple of listeners. One, Greg, who called earlier, who said, look, I'm probably moving house in the middle of November. What happens to my $600 credit? Will it carry over to the new house, or is it lost?
That will go on his account. When's he moving?
Did you say, middle of November, he said.
Middle of November. Well, he'll get that apply on his first account.
Yep.
Now, whether that might carry with his name, I'll have to check, but okay. It might well carry with his name. But it's certainly as of accounts, as at yesterday's announcement. So he might only get a partial benefit of that, but okay. I'll check on that for him and get back to you.
No worries. And Steve on the SMS says, I live in an apartment and we actually pay our power bill to the strata company. Therefore, I don't have a Synergy account. What about, and there'd be a lot of people in that situation. What happens for them?
Yeah, correct. So those people effectively get their on an energy extension scheme, which is apartment buildings, but also those in caravan parks and retirement villages, yes, they'll also get the credit of $600.
Is it $600 per strata company or $600 per resident?
No, per unit. So that way it applies to each residential apartment or individual apartment complex, yes.
So effectively they'll be treated the same as detached householders?
They will be, yes.
Okay. 9221882 if you'd like to talk to me this morning about these issues. Michael McCormack said that this is the most important federal budget that Josh Frydenberg will hand down since World War II. Is that the same for you on Thursday?
It's certainly an important one, and all governments have been working hard around settling their budgets, and we're the first state out of the gate, if you like, after the Commonwealth budget on tomorrow night. It is an important one because it needs to, in particular, really set a narrative for the next couple of years. Gareth, budgets tend to be year to year. We're keen to set a profile over the next 2 years, particularly around the asset spend. You're seeing in the Commonwealth already, they're clearly going heavy on infrastructure spend, as are we. So that's something that we'll be doing in this budget. And I'm always worried what history has shown us around these sorts of disruptions. It's really the year later where you start to see the tighter impacts, and bearing in mind the Commonwealth's stimulus and supports will start to unwind more heavily after March. That's where we've targeted a lot of our spend.
So on that, the infrastructure, $1.1 billion is the latest lot of infrastructure funding that the government have announced for roadworks and the like. There's this sort of strange dynamic happening, and we're talking about it with apprentices as well. Many people report they can't actually get apprentices to apply. Resources companies are starting to report that they're running into skills shortages problems, yet unemployment is high. How do you explain those apparent divergences? And will there be the workforce actually there to put these big infrastructure projects together as they wind out over the, you know, you've got Metronet going as well as these road projects? Is it all going to sort of fit together?
That's a great question, and it's really the key issue. You saw, I think, in recently yesterday's media, Josh Frydenberg making comments around what they're expecting population growth to do, and that is something that is going to be a challenge, I suspect, Gareth, next year and potentially into 2022 around our labour force. So it is slightly odd where we do have those skill shortages that you identify, and people can't actually find bodies to take on roles, yet we have a high unemployment rate. To a certain extent, we're penalised by that participation rate issue, but we really need to get better at matching people to roles, and I suspect that will get easier, Gareth, to be honest, once the job seeker component continues to unwind. We will get people more determined, if you like, to retrain and take on a new role, because some jobs that have been lost won't come back, but there will be new jobs created, and you will get areas like the mining sector, the construction sector, etc., who are very, very keen to get people on the job and training as they work, and that's what the Commonwealth appears to be doing, and it's certainly what we're doing with the range of skills and training announcements that we've already made.
Okay, the other elephant in the room is obviously borders. I presume that business leaders are telling you what they're telling me privately and increasingly publicly, that is that skills shortages, workforce pressures are building as a result of the closed WA border.
Yeah, and the border is going to be there until health advice tells us otherwise. But you know, suffice to say, it's something that will come down or become more flexible when that health advice tells us that. But I'm getting those similar responses as well, Gareth. But I'm also getting when I move through, you know, Vic Park and other areas, very strong support for it. But it's not there as a populist measure; it's there as a health measure. And once that's no longer required as a health measure or needs to change, it will. And I'm really encouraged by what we're seeing out of mm-hmm. Victoria in particular, Gareth. And, you know, I'm like many people. My sister lives in Victoria. She's mm-hmm. desperate to get back here, but understands that she's... there's a process and it's a bit difficult at the moment, but I'm fully confident that the Victorian numbers will continue to trend how they're going, and that will allow us to make changes in time.
Well, did you agree with the Premier's economic analysis last week that if we open the borders, then West Australians would just fly east and spend their money in other states?
Well, I think the Premier was trying to articulate the argument that other Premiers are making, and that is they're keen to have Western Australians, you know, as tourists, travel to those locations, is the point he was trying to make.
Well, I mean,
the border is based around our health advice that we get. But the economic analysis, I think, is fairly clear. Western Australians love to travel, whether it's in Asia or over east, and I think that's the point that other Premiers are very well aware of.
Right, but that's not a valid reason to close the border.
No, and it's not the reason why we have a border.
Okay. Surplus budget we're expecting on Thursday. Any hint on the size of the number?
Well, 1920, you saw the 1920 figure, a good surplus, considerably down on what we expected at the mid-year review in December of last year. You'll see, I think the finances have reacted to the decline in revenue and the increase in spend, and there's no doubt about that, Gareth. So you will see a change in trajectory that we released just in December last year quite considerably. So you'll see in the next couple of days, but revenue has taken a hit from the coronavirus, unsurprisingly, but
mining royalties have really been the saviour, haven't they? I mean, we've been incredibly fortunate that we're going through a sort of almost an inexplicable period of commodity price strength.
Yeah, the iron ore price has been incredible, and Josh Frydenberg, our Treasury, have been huge beneficiaries of that. It's not a sustainable price, of course, Gareth, and I'll always adopt, and you'll see again, a conservative view around what the iron ore price is likely to be, but it happens to be high at the moment because of China stimulus and China demand and supply disruptions that are coming back on, to be honest, out of Brazil. But it's one that, if you'd asked me at the beginning of the year, we'd have an iron ore price where we are now, wouldn't just be me, it'd be almost every investment bank in the world would tell us all crazy to have it at this level. So it's a huge benefit, and all Australians will get the benefit of that.
Ben, thank you for your time.
Good on you, Gareth.